This case comes out of the jury trial from county court in Stark County Court. In that case, the defendant was found guilty under 28.323, subsection 1A. It was then appealed by the defendant to the district court in Stark County. District court overturned the verdict, finding error that the state was not required to elect as moved by the defendant in the trial court. Essentially, the state's appealing on four issues that the district court erred in the state, requiring the state to elect, or saying the state should have elected, that the court misapplied applicable law, and finding that the second subsections were the same events, implying double jeopardy analysis, and that the district court did not have the authority to reverse the jury's verdict. In regards to the district court's order that the state should have been required to elect, there's no statutory or case law requiring the state to elect which charges it's going to proceed under. The state has the burden of proof in criminal prosecution. The state charged each subsection in this case because the state felt that it had the facts to prove those charges. One being that the defendant caused bodily injury, two that the defendant threatened bodily injury, and three that the defendant threatened the victim in a menacing manner. Therefore, I think the district court was wrong in stating that the state was required to elect which sections because the state believed that those three crimes were committed separately and distinct of themselves. In regards to the court misapplying the law and stating that these separate subsections, even though they contain different elements, were the same offense, I think if the court looks at that, sometimes, yes, I think assault could be considered continuous. If there's multiple punches of a defendant to a victim in rapid succession or 5 to 10 seconds between punches, I think that could be considered one of the same assaults. However, in this case, the facts are that the victim stated that the defendant had threatened to kill him and have him beat up. Took place inside the residence back on November 29th.
What ruling do you want from this court? What exposition of the law are you asking us to
I'd ask the court to reverse the district court's order that the jury verdict is incorrect and reinstate the jury's verdict. I don't think doing that would affect double jeopardy or place the defendant back in jeopardy. There's already been a jury finding that
the defendant's guilty. So tell us, what did the district court do?
The district court reversed the jury's verdict. The district court stated in its order that it was going to give the benefit of the doubt to the defendant based upon the fact that the court stated that the state should have been required to elect which charges it was going to proceed under. The state's arguing that that's an error.
Seems to me you have two different arguments, and I'd like to be clear about this. Your first argument, it seems to me, is that this statute creates three offenses, not a single offense. Is that correct?
I would say that it creates one offense of domestic assault, but there's three ways to commit that offense.
Okay.
I'd state that in this case, that was violated three separate times. Three distinct times, all within itself.
And perhaps part of the confusion arises from the fact that the offense can be committed in several different ways. If one were to assume that all of the events dealt with only one of the ways of violating the statute, you would still be arguing, I take it, that you had three different discrete offenses, even if they were all simple assault.
I would think it would depend on the facts of that case. Like I said, if I'm the defendant and I punch you three times in the face, I think that would be considered one assault.
So the guy who's out on the west side of the Capitol waiting for me to come to work and beats up on me then, and then when I go out for air at noon and he beats on me again, and then when I go home after work, he beats on me again. Is that three offenses, even though they're committed in the same day?
I would think so. I think there's a time period of attenuation, I guess, between those offenses. And I think similar to offenses, they're not the same offense, essentially. I understand that they're the same offense as domestic assault and third degree causing assault, but their elements are different for those each act.
So what error of law are you claiming was made?
That the district court did not have the authority to reverse the jury's verdict. Jury verdict will be, my understanding under State v. Wilson, United States Supreme Court, that a jury's verdict will stand once it's clearly wrong. And looking at the verdict, it wasn't clearly wrong. There was
that the district court's ruling you're addressing.
Correct.
So what was the argument of the defendant? Was it a double jeopardy argument?
It was. Well, the defense filed a motion to elect, a motion to quash, a motion to demur. It was all titled under the same heading. However, the body of that motion simply stated that the state was required to elect which subsection, even though we charged three separate crimes.
But we don't, but is this a multiple punishment issue which implicates the double jeopardy bar?
Judge, I'm not sure. Their motion simply stated that it violated double jeopardy under the Fifth Amendment.
But there was only one punishment.
And that's what I agree. It's a moot point whether we charged all three counts if the court was going to find that it is double jeopardy because the defendant was only found guilty of one count. Subsequently only punished the defendant for one count. So I think it's a moot argument for the district court to have found, hey, the state should have been required to elect because the defendant was only found guilty.
Because at this point, count three went out due to lack of evidence.
Correct.
Count two was a finding of not guilty.
Correct.
Do you think those are double jeopardied out for the remainder of this case?
Well, and maybe I misunderstand that question, but I think if this court reverses the district court's ruling and reinstates the jury verdict.
As to count one?
Correct. As to count one, I don't think I'm not asking for count two or count three.
Okay.
It would just be to reinstate the verdict that the jury found the defendant guilty under count one.
So it's the reasoning with respect to the district court's decision on appeal only as to count one.
Can we reinstate the jury's verdict?
I believe so. I don't see why not. Under U.S. v. Wilson, reinstating that verdict, you're not subjecting that defendant to double jeopardy. So there's already been a finding of guilt to that count. It's simply an error of law of the district court. We're not retrying any facts. We're not asking the court to send it back down as just informed. We're not asking for anything other than reversal of the district court's order to reinstate the jury's verdict.
So as it stands right now, after the district court's order, what is the status of it? Is the defendant found guilty of anything?
Can you repeat that question, Judge?
As it stands now, has the defendant been found guilty of anything?
Well, the defendant was found guilty by the jury of count one, which is 28.
Is that the one that the district court set aside?
Correct.
Okay.
That amount of time, so unless there's any other questions.
Thank you very much. Ms. Nelson, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Karen Nelson. I'm assistant public defender on behalf of Brianna Kleckner. It's my position that the state of Nebraska ought not to charge cases as if it's a three-legged milking stand, as if you're milking a cow. Or another analogy would be that you shouldn't get three balls in a carnival game as if you're going to hit a target.
Counsel, you heard my example that I asked your opposing counsel about three discrete offenses on the same day. Are you contending that the state cannot charge and obtain three convictions for something of that description?
In that scenario, I think they could, but that's not what happened here.
Tell us why.
These were simultaneous events, and in fact, they all happened within, like Mr. Klein had said, boom, 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 that would be one continuous event. And in fact, what regularly happens in like third degree assault cases under 28.310, what regularly happens is the state would plead the plain language of the statute and you get threatening in a menacing manner and bodily injury. And let's face it, what will frequently happen is somebody will say, I'm going to kick your blank, okay, and then go bloop, bloop. And you don't usually have the state charging both subsection 1 or A and subsection 2 to get two discrete events.
What is it that separates? How do we decide? How does anyone decide when it's a single continuous event or three discrete events?
Well, fortunately, we have state law. I mean, what Mr. Klein came up and said on behalf of the state of Nebraska was there's no statutory or state law that prevents this from happening. And State versus Parker says, and there was a DWI, it's now DUI, that says that it's one offense committable three separate ways. And so State versus Parker says that you, it just spelled it out exactly like it is.
What was your argument to the district court? Was it a double jeopardy argument?
No, my argument to the district court was that I had filed a motion to quash, and when you looked at the motion to quash and also heard the argument that I had made before the county court and my argument before the district court, it's very much like the argument I'm making here. There's multiple statutes. It's not just an assault statute, but it could be child abuse statutes, like 28707. Under 28707, that's committable by depriving children of food and clothing or cruelly confined.
But can't the state charge multiple counts in an information?
I think under State versus Parker, no. I mean, you can charge multiple counts in an information, yes, but you can't charge multiple subsections of the same statute. If it's one offense committable multiple ways...
Why? Why can't you? Why couldn't the state do it?
Because State versus Parker says no.
Well, what? Refresh my memory. What is the rationale on State v. Parker?
Well, the rationale was basically because the statute says that it's one offense multiple ways. So if you have one instance that's in a very short duration of time, not spread out like in the AM and the PM, as Justice McCormick says. So in this case, Ms. Kleckner was there, and there's not this long duration of time. It was a very distinct period of time.
Are there different sets of facts which would support three different ways to do this crime? You're saying that the facts, it's a repetition of the same fact or one continuous fact.
Well, there are separate elements for, but there's separate elements for the DWI under State versus Parker, as there are under third degree assault, as there are under child abuse. So it's not unusual if you look at the...
But isn't that the jury's job to figure out whether or not those separate groups of facts violated one part of that statute? And isn't that what the jury did here?
Well, I think the issue is that the statute is defined as one offense committable multiple ways, and that's the purpose of stare decisis.
And if you committed the offense three different ways, you still have only committed one crime.
Correct. Under State versus Parker. And that's the point of State versus Parker.
What's your best argument under the facts in this case that there were not three discrete instances of conduct, but only one continuing instance of conduct? Isn't that the key to what we're talking about?
Well, I think that this would be akin to any regular assault, is that it happened so instantaneously. There isn't this distinction of it happened the threat happened here, and then 10 minutes later there was an assault, and then 10 minutes later there was something else that happened. I don't think the facts, when you read it, draw out this long, oh, threatening to kill. It happens almost instantaneously, as in any third-degree assault, as in any other factual situation.
So if the state had decided, well, let's charge this under the threat arm of this statute, and the jury found them not guilty, could the state then go back and say, well, let's try this same thing under the bodily injury prong?
My position would be no, because double jeopardy attaches because it's one offense committable multiple ways, which is why...
So the state has to guess what the jury is going to, the jury or the judge might decide.
Well, I think the best way to do this is what they do in any assault case, which is allege the plain language of the statute, allege all three prongs, and then let the jury decide if the defendant is guilty of any of the three subparts, and then that's what they do. I mean, that's what is typically done.
So you're not arguing that the multiplicity of counts violates the double jeopardy bar?
No. I think what typically happens is you're charged once and then all three subcounts, but it's one crime. But in
they're
the
really
problem
not, they're
in
really
this
not separate counts. They're just, it's just one charge of assault.
Committable separate ways.
Three
and then the
ways,
jury decides if any of those three things occurred, then they're found guilty one time.
And what if the jury finds that two things happened?
You're still only found guilty one time.
So the jury could say, we think it's been established beyond a reasonable doubt that there was a threat, some manifestation of a threat. And we also find beyond a reasonable doubt that there was a contact, right?
Bodily
injury. And you'd say,
that's fine.
So what? It's still one crime.
It's still one crime, punishable one time. Correct.
That's your view of it. So even if three separate
correct
facts are established beyond a reasonable doubt, that's your
correct
position.
That okay would be what typically happens.
In order to have different counts, you'd have to have a definite separation in the action that created the basis for the assaults.
Correct.
And
but
it don't have to be a break-off where the first activity was over and done, clearly had no more activity on that end was going to happen, and then a subsequent time frame later, another activity happened which resulted in a second assault, so it could be charged as two different counts.
And what did the district, court judge do? Did he say this is a double jeopardy problem?
He did, or Judge Sastera did. And he said it was a double jeopardy problem because first, when the state rested, Judge Martinez dismissed one of the counts. And then second, the jury dismissed one of the threatening counts.
So we are dealing with a double jeopardy issue.
Absolutely we are.
So if it's a double jeopardy issue and the defendant has only been convicted of one count, how is that a double jeopardy bar or a violation?
Under Arizona versus Washington, if this is one offense committable multiple ways and she's been acquitted of that offense, then she cannot be found guilty of the bodily injury.
But she's been both acquitted and convicted of a single offense.
And one dismissed.
So.
And then you also have the problem under...
So there's not a multiple punishment element here.
Right. And then you have...
So if there's no element or more than one punishment, there's no double jeopardy bar or violation.
Well, it depends on what position you take. And then you have this problem of State versus Figueroa of I don't think you can reinstate, once the district court vacated the sentence, I don't think this...
But that's another issue.
You're talking error proceeding stuff.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? I've gone over my time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have time for rebuttal?
He has a minute 38.
A minute and 38 seconds, Mr. Klein.
I think kind of lost in the mix here is, Justice pointed out, these are individual acts that the state's making. Whether it's, as you stated, later in the day, later in the afternoon, as the defense argued, these did not occur at the same time.
But why do we even have to get there if the issue is the district court's order that they're dealing with a double jeopardy violation? And if there's no double jeopardy violation, isn't the game over?
I agree with you, Judge. I'm just making an argument in case this court takes that.
Right.
I do think there is no double jeopardy problem. Because, as you stated, there's not multiple punishments. The defendant was only found guilty of one count. It's a moot argument to say double jeopardy is an issue.
So you're wanting an exposition on the law. That's the that's what you seek by this action. Is that correct?
No, by this action, the state's asking to...
You want to reinstate the conviction.
And reinstate.
Okay, then that gets the state v. Figueroa, doesn't it?
I don't believe so. I think those are different facts. In that case, the defendant pled guilty. I believe the court stated we're not going to allow the state to re-prosecute that case. I think you can distinguish that case from this case because the facts have already been presented to the trier of fact. The trier of fact has already found that this individual guilty. There's no need to set it down for trial under counts 2 or 3. The state's not asking that. The state's asking to reverse the district court's order, which would simply put count 2 as being found not guilty, count 3 as being dismissed by the court, and count 1 being found guilty by the jury.
If we disagree that there are 3 separate events, if we view the evidence as a matter of law as establishing only 1 potential event, we have both a conviction and an acquittal for the same conduct. How do we resolve that?
I think you can resolve that, Judge, by looking at the statute itself. Sections A and Sections B of 323.1, and I know that these are not considered elements for the offense, they're simply enhancements. I think that does need to be taken into account. If a jury finds an individual guilty, as kind of the holding in Parker saying, you need to charge a DUI and you leave everything in there and the jury can say it's a .08 blood alcohol content or it's impairment. The jury doesn't have to pick out which one. They can just say guilty. I think that's different from this case because under that statute, there has to be a specific finding under Section A, Section B, or Section C. C is not an enhanceable offense. That's a threatening or menacing. So if the jury just states guilty and not finding a subsection, that way they're finding if it was an assault under A or assault under B couldn't be used to enhance to a felony subsequent prosecution.
But are you arguing that there were 3 separate assaults?
I am, Judge.
Okay, and the defense counsel is arguing that there's 1 assault that could be committed 3 different ways.
Correct.
And if there's a finding of guilty on 1 of the activities, isn't that sufficient to establish a conviction, regardless of whether it was 3 counts or 1 count?
Meaning if we charged 1 count with all 3 subsections?
No, you charged 3 separate counts of assault, didn't you?
I'm misunderstanding the question, then, Judge. I apologize.
Didn't you charge 3 different assaults?
Correct.
And was convicted of 1 of these assaults?
Correct.
So even if it was 1 assault that could be committed by 3 different activities, isn't there a valid conviction there?
I do think it was a valid conviction. If you're asking if it was a valid conviction,
Under either scenario, whether it was 3 separate ways you could commit it or whether it was 3 separate assaults.
Yeah, correct. I think we could have charged it as all 3 in that subsection as 1. However, as I stated, I think that the defendant in this case did commit 3 separate acts.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is State v. Michael J. Sims.